The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Good afternoon and welcome to Healthy Lifestyle. I'm Lorianne Kasdia. Our goal here at Healthy Lifestyle is to inspire, educate, and empower you to fulfill a healthy, emotional, spiritual, and physical life so you can feel empowered to live the life you have always wanted and dreamed. And we do that by bringing various people to our show to kind of give you a taste of different modalities that you may decide to dip your toe in and get more information and further get involved with. Today, we're very fortunate to have with us Meg Collier. She is a light summoner and life coach, and she has a website, togetherinrising.com, and I'd like to refer to her as a dear friend because she's just, like, inspiring. I've known Meg for a while, and just if you've ever seen a light or a star flying through the sky, this is Meg. You're a bundle of energy and light, and I adore you, Meg. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Lorianne, for having me, and it is my pleasure, my honor to be here today.
I'd love for you to explain to our listeners what exactly a light summoner is. I think a lot of people understand what life coach is, but I'd like to get into that as well. But what is it that you do as a light summoner?
Sure, absolutely. So I wasn't always a light summoner. It's a title and a mission for me that came to me in the past year. So I had found myself in the professional and personal development space for the last 3 years, working as a business coach. And as I was doing that, I realized that not only was I helping women unleash their greatness into the world through these online businesses, I was also helping polish their shine. And by that, I mean holding up a sacred mirror and allowing them to see themselves as they really are and step into the truth of who they really were and start to broadcast that and shine that out to the world. And that really took on this whole piece of helping people be the beacon, right? How can you be a beacon of light in your life to help other people find their way? And that's really, to me, what a light summoner is. It's somebody who can see the parts of you that maybe you've become numb to or blind to, or, you know, just by the day-to-day grind have lost touch with, and helps you reconnect to those parts of yourself so that you can shine as brightly as you can and also be one of those shooting stars.
Yeah.
So that's what a light summoner is to me.
Yeah, and you are a great role model because you are a shooting star, and you definitely spark people. You support them. I love watching you work, and I had the great fortune to be able to be on many calls with you and watch you work with women, and I saw the difference week over week over week with them based on your kind words and your inspirational words. And you're an intuitive as well, aren't you? You use those tools too, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. And it's something that I've only really opened myself up to in the past 2 years. So it's like as I stepped away from corporate more and more and stepped into my own business and really nurtured my own spirituality and entrepreneurial spirit, the gifts of source energy kept kind of dropping into my awareness.
Yeah.
And I've been able to use meditation and a whole bunch of other spiritual modalities and energy modalities to help hone my intuition. And I really feel that's one of my gifts and what has brought me to coaching is that I'm able to hear what people are saying when they're not saying it.
Yes.
And so I don't really believe that I'm like psychic or anything like that, like where I was like, I know I can read your mind, but it's about a deeper form of listening. And people will often say, oh, I feel like you can just finish my sentences. And I'm like, that's my secret superpower.
That's right. That's right. With your hands on your hips as you say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you do. And I just want to dive a little deeper. I hope you don't mind, but because we've known each other long enough, and I've been through kind of a spiritual awakening. Not kind of. I have been through a spiritual awakening where, you know, some events occurred that just changed the direction of my life and showed me the direction to go in. You've had that occurrence as well, right?
Yeah.
So
a
when
few
you're
times over.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think that when you get these big, these magnificent occurrences happening, it gives you an option and choice. You can either sit there, and it's a good choice to wallow if that's what you want to do. And some people just stay stuck, and then there are other people who take the challenges and say, you know what, I'm going to rise above it, I'm going to move on, I'm going to look forward. And that's exactly what you did, correct?
Correct.
And by doing that, doesn't that lend you to be able to help people even more? Because you've been there, you've done that, you've actually put everything that you recommend other people to do and use into actual motion for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that authenticity is the highest form of currency in our lives, in our businesses, in how we connect with people across the world. I mean, we live in a world now that is highly mediated, meaning there's digital media, there's social media, there's radio content, there's television content. We're inundated with messages. We're also inundated with this vision that people are living their best lives at every turn, because that's what people are doing on the internet. They're curating their best lives. And so we start often, I think, as human beings, as collective right now in the age we find ourselves in, we start measuring ourselves and where we're at against somebody's, you know, year eight, or, you know, somebody's 25th mile when we're on our first mile. And so we're fostering, you know, these feelings of comparison, which is ultimately the thief of joy. Enter me into the personal and professional development space, who really is all about kind of flipping the industry on its head. That's really a mission of mine at the core, is to say, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to be living the specific lifestyle to be in a space where you can make impact with your audience, with your clients, with the group of people that you're serving.
Agreed.
Yeah. And the best way that you can do that is to own your truth and own all the parts of the journey. I've been through a lot of Al-Anon meetings. I've sat through a lot of 12-step programs. I've been through a lot of therapy. And one of the biggest pieces that has influenced this path for me in my work is that both can exist, right? You can be a work in progress and totally perfect at the same time. You can be figuring it out and hitting the mark at the same time. You can be a hot mess and an organized person at the same time.
Absolutely.
When you're able to hold both, that's really a beautiful place to be, because you kind of shed this attachment to this black or white thinking, this all or nothing thinking, which is really just anxiety or depression presenting itself, right? These absolutes of like, oh, things never work out for me, or it's always going to be this way. And both of those are just signaling that we are, you know, looking at the past to predict our future, or we're looking at the future with such, you know, fear-based uncertainty that we don't know how to proceed.
Yeah, we were talking, and that's very sage advice. We were talking this morning about using the past to predict the future, and how that just doesn't work. It's in the past for a reason, and that doesn't, just because it happened that way one time doesn't mean it's going to happen the same the next time. And that's where trust comes in, where you have to trust the process, you have to trust the universe, that you learned whatever the lesson was. And that's the important thing, don't you think? That you have to find out what it is you were supposed to learn from that experience, be it good or bad, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, there's always going to be a condition. I think about this. I follow right now the teachings of Abraham Hicks a lot. I'm really immersed into that content. I'm also immersed into the teachings of Dr. Joe Dispenza. And a lot of what you find in all of this is that you can't use your past to predict your future. Is that a lot of these stories that we've concocted about why things are happening or why they're going down isn't necessarily the full and utter truth, right? And there's, you know, and you say there's always like three sides to every story, right? You know, yours, theirs, and the truth. And right. The reality of the situation for me is that it's all energy, right? It's all energy. And these conditions, whether they be good or bad, are always going to present themselves. And the best that we can do is look at them objectively and say, what is this trying to teach me?
Yes.
How is this attempting to grow me? And am I open to receiving the lesson? Because it is important, I think, in our journey as spiritual beings in these human vessels of flesh to be very clear on what we do like and also be really clear on what we don't like, but not to spend too much time focusing on what we don't like and how our current conditions aren't where we want them to be.
Well, what we don't like should be here's something that I see a lot in my clients is what we don't like, we spend so much time articulating it down to specificity. The whole point of what we don't like is just to know what is not acceptable and we don't want to go in that direction. So we can focus on what we do like and the direction we want to go in. And something you said earlier about using the past to predict the future, I loved what you said when we were talking this morning with a group of people. And you had indicated that the past isn't recalled exactly accurately. So it doesn't even serve us to use it as a resource, right? Repeat what you had said this morning, because that was great.
So this is actually some research that's coming out of Dr. Joe Dispenza's work. And if you haven't heard of Dr. Joe Dispenza, the high level of this guy is pretty amazing. So long story short, he was a spinal doctor and also a triathlete when he was in his mid-20s. He got into a bike accident in a triathlon and shattered his spine. And he had two options, get surgery or don't get surgery. If you don't get the surgery, you might never walk again. He decided to opt out of the surgery after talking to doctor and doctor and doctor. And that led him on his journey of spiritual awakening, I would call it, because what he was able to do with the power of visualization and meditation is heal his spine. And when they told him he wouldn't be walking for a year or two, he was up and walking and back in his practice in 10 months. And what that did was change the course of his study and work to look at the power of the human mind and to look at the way that our thoughts influence our beliefs and start to create this coherence in our body, meaning that our thoughts influence our physical bodies and everything's working together because it's all energy.
Correct.
And so the video that I caught yesterday was on this exact topic, was the idea that we're using the past to predict the future. And in doing that, 50% of what we recall about the past from his research shows that it is untrue. And so, because our past recollections are really subjective to the emotional state that we find ourselves in
at the time, right?
Right. Or even in the moment that we're in right now. Mm-hmm. So if you're in like a really negative state of mind and you're recalling a past friendship, it's going to be really hard to cultivate the friendlier elements of that exchange. However, if you're in a negative mind state and you're recalling that friendship, you're going to think about every wrongdoing that person ever did to you.
It's like the person that you go to the wake for. Everybody talks so nicely about the person, whereas, you know, the week before when they were around, they might have had other grievances or a different viewpoint, but they only point out the good things during the week. So yeah, right. It's from the position of where you are. So you're in a good place and you're happy and everything's going good, it doesn't bother you as much and you don't focus on those negatives. And that's the whole point of Abraham Hicks, Bren Brown, though they talk about focusing on the positive, and we say it here all the time on the show, is about focusing on yourself, focusing on positive, do a little something kind for yourself. We have to start with being kind to ourselves, don't you think, Meg?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, the line from that video that really caught me this morning, mm-hmm. was that we're using our past to predict our future. And so what that means, if 50% of our recollection of our past is untrue, that means that we are choosing to relive over and over again misery that has a high probability of never having even happened. So we're choosing to live in a misery that might not have even happened over and over and over and over again. So like what we allow is what we perpetuate. Right. So what we choose to think, what we choose to focus on grows. Energy flows where attention goes. Right. So we give it our attention. We give it our focus. That's going to grow. That's going to grow. That's going to grow. It's like when you're hitting red lights on the road and you're just like, gosh, I can't believe I hit another red light. Gosh, I can't believe I hit another red light. And then the next day you're like, I'm hitting every single green light on this road. This is amazing. Yes. I'm getting every parking spot, because your attention on how abundant your, you know, people, I'm using air quotes, your good luck might be, or your good favor might be, grows that, right? It's the same thing with superstition. I stopped practicing superstition.
Yes.
About 5 years ago, because I realized superstitions were just practiced fear.
Yes, exactly.
It was like, oh, if I want to get this to happen, I need to turn these knobs and buttons. And it's just something that's culturally conditioned into us. It's not, I don't believe it's actually true, but if a belief is a thought you just think over and over and over again,
which it is.
If you believe that putting a hat on the bed is bad luck, and you really put a lot of energy behind that, well, guess what? Like, some stuff's going to go down when you leave your hat on the bed on a regular old Tuesday.
Right.
And I can laugh about it now, but in the beginning, it was really difficult for me to wrap my head around how much personal responsibility I had to take for where my thoughts and where my energy were going.
Agreed. And we have, although we don't have control, we do have a lot of control, because it's up to us. We control the energy and where it goes, and we control our thoughts. And so the statement of energy flows where our attention goes is so dead dog accurate. And again, like you said, with the superstitions and things like that, for me, I use a different set of language, which is superstitions and bullying and things like that. Those are all tools like social media utilized as a bullying platform, the internet being used as a bullying platform. Those are all ways to keep other people small. They're ways to allow people to keep us small. We allow that to happen by spending ridiculous amount of time on social media, just looking what other people are doing. And most of that is Disneyland anyway. No offense to Disneyland, but it's all make-believe. You know, everybody's kid is perfect and everybody's life is perfect and everybody's smiling in the pictures. And what you don't know is that the moment before that picture was snapped, everybody was fighting with each other, or these people were fighting with those people. And so everything is not hunky-dory. We can't take it at face value. And we have to really, as you say, and I love this thing that you say, is keep your eyes on your own paper. So don't worry about what this person's doing or that person's doing. It doesn't matter. What matters is what you're doing. What other people think, it's none of our business. And we say that a lot here. It's none of our business what anybody else thinks. We have to really focus our energy on what we're doing. And when you do, all of a sudden, you do get buzzed by butterflies and you do notice these wonderful things, and suddenly you do get all the red lights all the green lights, and you get the parking spots and things work easily. Ever meet somebody who it's like, oh my gosh, they just step in it all the time. It's like everything goes their way. There's a reason for it. They have this very positive attitude. And I really encourage people to start looking inward, because we come factory prepared with everything we need. We just have to learn to tap into it. And that's something that we're not, and society doesn't really want to encourage, because then it's they feel like there's no need for them. And that's not true in any way, shape, or form.
Well, no, it's not. And I often think about this video and the story that Seth Godin tells. And Seth Godin, for those of you who don't know who he is, you know, a very famed internet marketer. He is the father of email marketing, basically. So he's written a ton of books, but he often talks about the myth of Icarus. And, you know, there's the tale of Icarus is that his father fashioned him these wings of wax and feathers, and he said, son, don't fly too close to the sun, or the sun will melt the wax. And we all know that part of the myth, right?
Mm-hmm.
The part of the myth that was taken out by industrialists during the Industrial Revolution was, don't fly too low to the water either, because the weight of the wings will pull you down. Find your stride in the middle, right? The harmony between flying high and flying low. But they removed this element of the myth because, you know, consumerists, capitalists, industrialists want to keep us flying low.
Yeah.
Because if we fly too low, then we can't reach our true potential. But listen, it's true that if you go too hard, go too fast, you're going to get burnt, right? And you will fall from that grace. So I think the real lesson in all of this, you know, and the real talk, because that's really what I'm about, right? Is like real talk.
Right.
The real talk of all of this is that imperfection is the thing that unites all of us as humans. Nobody, not your parents, not your children, not your friends, not your neighbors, not your boss, not your mentor, nobody has it all figured out.
Right.
Right? We're all simply figuring it out. So that's like one piece that I think we need to remember with all this. And number two, like, positivity is where it's at, right? Like, cultivating a joyful mindset full of satisfaction and fulfillment is what will get you more of that sweetness in life.
Yes, but isn't that what we want in life?
It's right. Yeah. And
yeah.
It's not without sacrifice, and it's not without being able to unattach ourselves from the current conditions that present themselves.
I want to talk about, you know? I want to dive deeper on that and talk more about that on our second half. You are listening to Healthy Lifestyle. I'm Lorianne Castia, and we're speaking with Meg Collier, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Healthy Lifestyle. I'm Lorianne. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas on topics, guests, or anything else you'd like to hear more about, please email us at healthylifestylewithla@gmail.com. That's healthylifestylewithla@gmail.com. I promise you, we will get back to you. I personally answer all of the email. And follow us on social media at healthylifestylewithla. Today, we are talking with the great, magnificent, wonderful Meg Collier. She's a light summoner and life coach, and she uses her intuitive skills and many other skills for her life coaching. Used to be a business coach, but definitely someone who empowers other women, and you know how I feel about that. Togetherinrising.com is her website. And Meg, welcome back. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So we were talking before we went to break, we were talking about authenticity and real talk and positive mindset. And let's talk more about that, because you and I are both all about that. And mindset is key number one tool that each of us need to really develop on our journey while we're here.
Absolutely. I have a quote that, you know, whether I've done a lot of coaching, and it's life coaching, it's business coaching. I was an axe throwing coach for a while. And one thing I've said in all of those coaching roles is that mindset is the heartbeat of success. You become what you think of, what you believe over and over again, and what you reinforce in your awareness is what you will become. So the thoughts that you're thinking today, the people that you're hanging around with, the content that you're consuming is what you're going to become 3 months, 3 years, you know, however many, how long down the pike that you stick with that.
Right.
So it is important, I think, it has to be a high priority if you're looking to create radical change in your life or your business to go inwards. I mean, you and I say that all the time,
yeah,
because that's really the key. We've been conditioned by traditional marketing and the traditional American marketplace that the solutions are all outside of ourselves. Right, that there's a pill for that,
right,
there's a solution for that, there's a formula for that, there's steps that you can take to get that specific result, and that other people have the answers that we need or the shortcuts. And the real talk here is that all of it starts as an inside job, right? And that's where we come back to this idea of keeping your eyes on your own paper,
right,
staying in your own lane, shedding what other people think of you, and choosing to be a positive person without being a toxically positive person. And I think the difference in that is, as a positive person, you're saying, this is my condition. It's not exactly what I would want right now, but I'm going to say maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. Everything's working out in my favor.
It's a journey. It's a journey. We have to remember it's a journey.
Right?
We're on a journey. We're not at the end of the journey. So, of course, there's going to be changes, and we need to be prepared for it. But I think one of the things that people don't understand is, and this kind of goes back to what your mom and dad used to say, be careful what friends you surround yourself, be careful what circles you're in. That's very much part of this as well. You're going to find, if you do want to do this radical change, that may and generally does include changing some of the people that are in your life right now. They may not serve you any longer because you're going on a different journey. You're heading in a different direction. That doesn't mean to say where they are isn't right or wrong. That's not really what we're here to discuss. We're here to talk about you and making those choices to better yourself and to become the best you possible. And sometimes that makes some people fall away. You will actually see them fall away quietly. And in a lot of cases, they just no longer come around because they're looking for one person and you're becoming a totally different person, and or you don't feel comfortable. And you need to take those signals when you don't feel comfortable around those people anymore. It's not that they're necessarily bad. They're just no longer serving you. So listen to your body when it reacts and it doesn't want to be there anymore. And or if you're at a job and you're not happy, you need to look at that and see, where do you want to be? What do you ask yourself? Why are you there? Where do you want to be? What do you want to be when you grow up is what I generally say to people. It's like, I don't think I'm ever going to grow up. I'm always going to be this many. I'm holding up my hand with five fingers. I will always be that many. But what do I want to be when I grow up? And that changes. And that's why, you know, you bring all these tools that you've fostered throughout your life and different careers and many careers in some cases. And all those tools actually serve you to what you want to be on your next step, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that. I also think that we live in a universe that is totally just a translation of energetic vibration. And I didn't always believe this. Full disclosure, I am not a scientist. I am absolutely not a scientist. But in doing more of this study around energy and how energy interacts with the body, learning more about Reiki, the chakra systems, and how everything in our universe is energy, it harkens me back to this thought that I had in a science class in high school when we were learning about mass and matter. And I was like, wow, if everything is made of energy and everything is made of, you know, matter, and matter is neither created nor destroyed, the likelihood is that we are just atoms in another person's table, right? Mind blown. Like, what a thought for a high schooler. I didn't know what that actually meant. It was just a thought that came passing through my awareness. So fast forward, you know, 18 years later, and here I am learning and understanding what that actually means. And to me, it means that everything has a vibrational resonance to it. And we can only invite into our awareness that which is an equal to vibration to where we're at in that moment. So as we continue to hone our mindset, as we continue to hone the vibrations that we're sending and emitting out, you know, through our awareness, through our choices, we then call that back. It's like a radio station, right? What we tune into is what we'll get back. You tune into this station, you're going to get news. You're going to get talk shows, right?
Yeah.
Tune into an oldie station, you're going to get that back. And the same thing is with our vibrational awareness. So as those people, as those circumstances, as those conditions that no longer serve us begin to move away, the invitation is to lean into the new vibration that you're emitting, knowing that that is a change that you've summoned for yourself, in a sense, right? Like, if you're seeking your own healing, you are awarded with the gift of sitting in your own greatness.
But let's look at this too, is that in order to allow more in, you need to make space. So that's why those people are also moving away, because you need to move away from people who no longer serve you or circumstances that no longer serve you to open up space to allow all that stuff that you want and you're vibrationally encouraging to come into your life. You need space to be able to do that. So how can you do that if you have, you know, clutter in your space? So that's why you do things like feng shui come into place, and making sure that, as I refer to it, close chapters and take care of things that have been open and unfinished. Take care of unfinished business. It goes to the 12 steps as well. They talk about atonement and closing unfinished business. It's to clear that up and allow you to open yourself spiritually and energetically to vibrate at that higher level, so that that higher level of person or energy come into your life.
Yeah. And it's like, it's really deciding what end of the pole you're going to find yourself on, right? Like every topic, every scenario, every decision has like two ends of the pole. There's the pole that feels really low vibrational, not so good. And then there's the end of the pole that's like really high vibrational, feels good, feels, you know, in alignment with what I want. It doesn't have to be good or bad. It might be good or bad for you, but, you know, it's different for everybody.
Right.
And I think being able to hone practices and hone rituals that allow you to understand where you're at on that vibrational continuum is so important, because finding yourself and grounding yourself into the present moment without attachment to what's happening while cultivating the feelings that you want to have is the ultimate goal of cultivating more joy in your life, right? Because at the core of it, right, it's very simple. We are all energetic beings that are made of unconditional love and designed to have an infinite amount of joy and abundance and fulfillment and satisfaction in our lives.
Yeah, and we're actually taught.
Hardwired for that.
Correct. We're hardwired for that, and yet we're taught to focus on the negative, to, you know, just spend an inordinate amount of time not looking for the joy. And that's why every opportunity we have the opportunity to change that focus, change that camera lens. You know, we talk about the two cameras. You can look at everything negative, you can look at everything positive. And in every circumstance, whether it's a positive situation or a negative situation, there is joy and positivity. You just have to look for it. There's a lesson to be learned. There's the joy. Oh, okay. So this is happening. So I remember to do X, Y, or Z, or I remember not to do X, Y, or Z. There's joy in knowing that's and having that satisfaction of being able to identify that. That's part of your journey to learn how to do that. And we talk about, Meg, you and I talk about the learning curves. You know, mm-hmm. the sooner that learning curve happens, something might have used to take 2 weeks. Now it takes 5 minutes. That learning curve is substantial. That's wonderful. And I focus on that. And those are some of the things you can do, little things. So, Meg, let's talk about some things that people can do to start doing things like this. Obviously, I encourage people to definitely get a mentor, because having someone to safely bounce things off of is important. That helps with your guidance.
Yes, absolutely. I would say one of the biggest things that I did for myself to nurture my entrepreneurial spirit and also really dig deeper into my intuition was to work with a team of healers, mentors, and coaches.
Myself
and
included.
I say a team because it really is a team effort. I had a business coach, I had a life coach, I had a therapist, I had a energetic healer. I went to other energetic healers while I was traveling around last year, and all of those experiences have continued to help me level up in all areas of my life. And really what it comes down to, I think the next thing you can do is develop a plan around consistency, which takes heaping doses of self-discipline and self-compassion. Yeah. And consistency looks like saying, I'm going to do this one thing or change this one thing for the next 3 days. And then I'm going to do it for 3 days after that. The thing that I am all about is taking small bites, right? Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither does your personal transformation or your healing journey. These things are not a straight line,
right,
but they are reflective of our own levels of personal resilience and tenacity, because you're going to fall off the wagon, and there's nobody that's going to get you back into the work or get you back on the path but yourself. So it's back to this idea of cultivating that most important relationship, which is the one that you hold with yourself.
Beautiful. Yeah, we talk about at the end of the show every week, we talk about doing a little something for yourself, creating a new habit. Those are the type of habits I'm talking about. You know, it can start very small. It doesn't have to be big. You don't have to do a humongous change, but making that commitment to yourself is so important. Be it meditation, be it getting a mentor, be it getting a psychologist, psychiatrist, someone to help you along the way. We can't do it by ourselves. We're not here alone. Yeah. There's a reason for it. And there are people out there who can help assist us. And like you said, as you were going through your journey, you met additional people. And that's what happens. when the universe sees your willingness to make a commitment to yourself by creating a habit, it throws rewards back by putting people in your path that help you do it better and more consistently. And you'll just see the people are put in your path just for those reasons. And when you're open to it, you recognize it. And when you recognize it, you have an opportunity to grasp hold of it and be able to learn from those circumstances too. Don't you believe?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would also add to this list of things to do is journal. And I know not everybody identifies as a writer. You don't have to be a writer to journal, but there is a very, and there's been studies on this done. There's a very energetic release that happens when you take your thoughts and translate them through your body, through your hand, through a pen onto a piece of paper. You're literally removing energy out of your body. You're diffusing, transmuting it into something else.
And when words are put, I'm sorry, and when words are put out there verbally and especially in writing, it has a different sound and different meaning, and you learn more from it than when it's in your head.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like I often tell people, especially people that will self-identify as struggling with anxiety or with racing thoughts or with depression, I usually have them do some type of like list making exercise or some sort of journaling exercise, because what writing does is it helps you put a stick in the spokes of the hamster wheel that you're turning on. And a hamster wheel doesn't get you anywhere, right? You're just spinning and spinning and spinning. And it's basically the definition of insanity, right? It's doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. I'm going to get somewhere. No, you're not. You're just going to keep spinning your wheels. Writing is this process where even if you are just making a list of things that you are grateful for, it is an acknowledgement of there being an energy outside of yourself, either a part of you, whatever you intuit that or, you know, connect with as far as a higher power is concerned, it helps connect you to this source larger than yourself. And gratitude is one of the most highest vibrating emotional states that any human being can be in. And that is why there is so much hype, I think, in the last 15 years around gratitude, because the studies have shown that when you are in a space of cultivating a sense of appreciation and really appreciating it, like feeling appreciation, which is very similar to the feeling of love in my experience.
Yes.
You actually start to rewire your brain. You start to change the like molecular structure of your body. And it's wild, right? It's just wild how simple these shifts can be, how groundbreaking they can end up being, but also in the moment, how challenging it can be, because these are not things that are readily accepted by society, right? Like people might look at you sort of cross-eyed, but you're not doing it for other people, right?
It doesn't matter. Yep. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks.
You're doing it for yourself. And when you're hitting all those green lights and all of your goals and you're moving at the speed of light by barely feeling like you're moving, shooting star style, it is such a peace, a serenity, you know, and I'm so grateful to get flits of that. You know, because I'm still very much on a deep healing journey.
But that gratitude, as somebody had said to me, very smart gentleman said this to me, is that it's impossible, and you guys can all try it who are listening, it's impossible to be angry and have gratitude at the same time. You can really only do either or, and the same thing with love and hate. You can't do both at the same time. So why not choose gratitude? It's a lot easier. Believe it or not, it's a lot easier to be grateful for things. And when you're sitting there having a bad day, turn around and find something to be grateful. Start citing off things you're grateful for. You will see a marked improvement in your day. You can change your day. It could start really great because you're going to start your day saying, I'm going to have a great day. Or you can have something happen that makes it less great. But if you look and be grateful for things that you have, people you're around, opportunities in front of you, the flower that's right, you know, down the street that you passed this morning, something, it could be as small as can be. That gratefulness, actually, you'll feel yourself relax. You'll feel less stressed. And I would suspect, and I actually know personal from personal utilizing this myself, you actually change how your body feels, like Megan was saying. Meg, before our time runs out, and I appreciate you being on, and you're so inspirational. I definitely have to have you come back because there's just so much more to talk about. I need to ask you this one question. How in the world did you get into axe throwing?
The inquiring minds want to know.
Yes.
So long and short of it, I am a Northeast Philadelphian girl. I was born and raised in Philadelphia, never threw an axe, although I did have some park area near me, so I would play in the woods occasionally. I was 33 years old. I went to a birthday party, so indoor axe throwing had made its way into Philadelphia by way of Canada about 2.5 years ago, and I was invited to a birthday party, an axe throwing birthday party, where you could have adult beverages and throw axes, which seems wild.
Yeah, that's a bizarre combination.
I definitely have to check this out. And I did, and I went, and it was one of those parties where you don't know anybody. You showed up solo. You only know the birthday person, so you're like trying to make friends. You're also doing this really new skill set, and I threw my first axe, and the exhilaration that came from me standing in a line being coached by somebody on how to throw a hatchet into a target was life altering for me.
Oh my God. We'll definitely have to come back and talk more about that. Thank you so much, Meg, for being on the show with us today and really inspiring all of us. Together in rising.com is Meg Collier's website. Please go visit her on social media at Meg E. Collier. You're wonderful. I adore you. Thank you so much for being here. Remember, everyone, do a little something for yourself every day. It starts there. It doesn't have to be big, but definitely take a moment. Do something for yourself every day. Create the habit. Create a new balance. You are the best you because everyone else is taken. Thank you again for joining us on Healthy Lifestyle. I'm Lori Ann Castia. Until next time, show up for you and show up big.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.